The Gospel according to St. Mark, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 through 35. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his brother and brothers came, and standing outside they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, give us the word that we need to hear so that our lives may be abundant and a blessing to all. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It's back from annual conference, and glad to see you. We have cameras on us today, so we welcome anyone who happens to see a broadcast of this sermon and of this service. Strange title for a sermon after an annual conference, sane. If anything will make you a little crazy, it's meetings, after meeting after meetings. Parliamentary procedure, motions, substitute to the substitute motions, and so on and so forth. The title of the sermon, Sane, comes directly from today's gospel and also from a writing by C.S. Lewis, one of Lewis's clever arguments on behalf of Jesus Christ. You read C.S. Lewis? Anybody? You read him? He was a professor at Oxford. There we go. Professor of Oxford. He was a professor of Renaissance literature, and he was most famous for his writings about the Christian faith. He wrote The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, Perelandra, and some others. Very fine writer. In one of his essays, Lewis wrote, "Either Jesus of Nazareth is who he says he is, or he's insane." That was it. Two ways. That used to bother me. I used to think logically, even though I was a believer. Now, hang on, Mr. Lewis, there has to be at least a third alternative to that. You know, maybe he was just a bit confused, or maybe he didn't quite get what was going on. But I think now, after a lot of thought, and of course as a believer in Jesus Christ, I think C.S. Lewis is exactly right. We're on movie themes, right? Do you remember the movie Arsenic and Old Lace? Remember that old movie? That was an old movie even when I was a kid. Stars Cary Grant. And Cary Grant, if you remember the story, took his lady friend to meet his family in the house he grew up with. He grew up with two aunts and an uncle, Uncle Theodore, Uncle Teddy, who happens to think that he is Theodore Roosevelt, the president. Every time he goes up the stairs, he lifts his arm and yells, "Charge!" and runs up the stairs full speed. All right, remember that? Some other things happen too, and it turns out that Teddy is not the only crazy person in the house, as it is. Now, if your Uncle Teddy tells you that he is Theodore Roosevelt, the president, and or before president, charging up San Juan Hill, he's either right or he's insane, right? There's not really anything between. Jesus also says crazy things. He talks about himself as the Son of God. He calls God his Father. He talks about himself as the Son of Man and the bread of life. He talks about being alive before Moses, who had lived 800 years before. He talks about laying down his life and taking it up again. Now that's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. Unless he knows something, something great that the world does not know. In this morning's gospel, the verdict was not in Jesus' favor. The scribes, not just copyists of the Torah scrolls, but educated theologians, declared that Jesus was possessed by Beelzebul. By Beelzebul, he casts out demons. That is, he is mad. His mind has been taken over by a demon. There is a little ethnic joke in here, by the way. Did you know that? Beelzebul is an Aramaic version or Hebrew version of Beelzebub. Beelzebub was a Syrian god, means lord of the house. In Hebrew, Beelzebul means lord of the flies. So not only is Jesus possessed by a foreign god, he's possessed by the lord of the flies. Jesus rightly points out that a demon who is evil will not confront evil by casting out evil. If Satan turns against Satan, then Satan's house will fall. But the scribes were not convinced. More compelling and more curious than this is the fact that Jesus' own family seems to be worried about his sanity. Did you notice that? They came to restrain him, the scriptures say. Now, it might have been they came to protect him because his talk was so outlandish in the ears of others that he was going to get into trouble, which eventually he did, of course. But a lot of scholars, and I agree, think that Jesus' own family was wondering about his mental health. And remember, they did not have the benefit of 2,000 years of afterthought. They are living Jesus' life in real time. They heard what he actually said, and they were inspired, they were moved, and they were also probably very, very confused, the strange things he said. So is Jesus mad? Or was he the one come from God, the one whom he says he is? Now, I believe, and I expect that you will agree with me, that Jesus of Nazareth was probably the sanest person who walked upon this earth. We believe him, we trust him, we follow him. And I don't know about for you, but for me, that ain't always easy. And I'd like to say a couple of things about the sanest person who ever lived. And the first, in case you're trying to keep score, is that Jesus gives us a template, a model of what it means to live a sane and healthy life. Secondly, the world may not buy what we're selling. Okay? Let me say also, and this is the disclaimer for this sermon, that I'm not suggesting that by being a Christian or being part of a church, you'll necessarily increase your sanity. There are some things that need treatment, right? Medical treatment, medical help, that's why we have medicine, that's why God gives us that gift. So I'm not suggesting that being one of us means you're necessarily sane. Just look around. I'm kidding. First then, Jesus is the model of sanity. I'm going to say five things about that model. I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, but there are five basic ideas I want to say. Number one, Jesus knows himself. Number two, Jesus' behavior is congruent with his self-knowledge. Number three, Jesus promotes and enjoys healthy relationships with others. Number four, Jesus gives himself for others, beginning with God the Father. And five, Jesus did not live by bread alone. Talk about those five things for just a moment. I haven't got any notes here. I'm just going to make this up as I go along. One, Jesus knows himself. Jesus knows himself, doesn't he? How important is it that you know who you are? Isn't that bedrock? Isn't that a foundation to being a sane, healthy person? Knowing yourself. Know thyself, the philosopher said. I think of Jesus spending 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness following his baptism. Do you remember that? What do you think he goes out to do out there with the wild animals, with no food and no water? What's he doing out there? Is it not a dangerous journey of self-discovery? And why does he go off to pray? Why does he wander off early in the morning away from the disciples? Why do they have to go find him? Why does he have to have that time alone? He has to know himself, doesn't he? He must know who he is. You must know who you are to live a healthy, whole, sane life. You may not always like who you find, but you have to know who you are. Secondly, Jesus' behavior is congruent with his self-knowledge. That's a good word, congruent, right? It means he's the same inside and outside, right? The person you see is the person you get. The things he says are authentic sayings. He says what he really believes. He says what he really means. He tells the truth of himself. You've met a lot of people about whom we say they're either two-faced or they're not really real. Have you met someone who's not really real? Someone who's hypocritical? Someone who seems to believe one thing but acts in a different way? That's a lack of congruence. That's pretending to be something that you're not, or actually acting in a way in which you are not. That's not Jesus of Nazareth. What you see is what you get. He is who he is. Number three, Jesus promotes and enjoys healthy relationships. Talked a couple of weeks ago briefly about enmeshed relationship. You know what an enmeshed relationship is? It's one in which you don't know where you end and the next person begins. That is, you are so connected that your well-being depends upon whatever they do or whatever they say. So if they're not all right with you, you're not okay. You don't have your own life. Jesus has healthy relationships with people. He knows who he is. So he's able to know who they are too. And he's able to love them and give them what he needs to give. Jesus doesn't just react to other people. He's able to act in an honest and authentic way. I don't know about you, but if my relationships are screwed up, it messes with my mind and with my heart, right? That's why we talk so much about forgiveness in the church, about reconciliation. It's about relationships being right between ourselves and others, between ourselves and God. If those relationships aren't right, you're not going to be right. I think that makes sense. Number four, Jesus gives himself for others. There's one thing that materialists can never figure out. That is people who don't believe in spirit. They can never figure out altruism. That is why people do things for other people without expecting anything in return. It's one of the mysteries of being a human being. Well, it may be a mystery, but we Christians think we have some understanding of why that is. Because God has made us that way. God has made us to give. God has made us to share. God has made us to love in a sacrificial way. And that's what it means to be healthy, to be able to do that. Jesus was like that. And five, Jesus did not live by bread alone. That is, Jesus lived by the good news that God had given him. He lived in spirit. He lived by prayer. One of the other mysteries about human beings is that we were made to pray. And when we cease praying, we cease being whom we fully are. Now, Jesus got into a lot of trouble being the person that he was, didn't he? And you and I can expect, probably, if we're faithful followers of Jesus Christ, to get into trouble too. One of the greatest of the desert fathers, those great monks who lived in Egypt and Syria, Abba Anthony, who lived in the 4th century, wrote this, or said this: "A time is coming when men will go mad, and when they see someone who is not mad, they will attack him, saying, 'You are mad. You are not like us.'" I would dare to say in this church that to be a Christian is to be different. It's to dare to be different in a world which is obsessed with wealth, with status, with ambition, with self. It's to be different than that. It's to live in a different way. It's to have different goals. It's to look and act differently than others. And if it got Christ in trouble being different, it'll get us in trouble too. What if we, like John Wesley, as John Wesley instructed, started offering others Christ in our words, in our actions, in the way we spend our money, the way we use our time, the way we treat other people? People might begin to wonder about us, huh? But that would be okay, because they wondered about Jesus too. Let us pray. Oh Lord, sometimes our lives seem to be at loose ends. Sometimes we don't know if we're coming or going. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we want. We don't know what you want of us. Oh Lord, bring some sense of order out of the chaos. Bring us to our right minds. Let us know joy and abundance and love for you and everyone. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.